Today on Real Radio.
There should be a sense of urgency about the Spirit-filled Christian. If you're not urgent today, you're a lover of Jesus, but you're not urgent. You need to ask God to forgive you, to remove the clutter from your life, and to get you in hot love with Jesus about his return.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Thank you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy?, is taken from a proximity conference on Bible prophecy and how it relates to us today. It's God's desire that we all know how to enter the kingdom of heaven. Throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, the prophets spoke of a coming Messiah. The prophecy came to pass through the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and He alone has the power to save us from sin and death. We learned of this and other magnificent events from the prophetic word of the Bible. The Bible is like no other book in the history of mankind. Our entrance into the kingdom of heaven matters to God, and He gave us His word so that none of us would perish in our sins. It's why as Christ followers, we need to always be prepared to give an answer for our faith and to spread the good news of the gospel to others. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Bible promises a future and a hope. The former things prophesied have come to pass, but the Bible also speaks of future things to come. Our challenge is to be in a state of readiness by not letting the anxieties and the distractions of our day leave us unprepared. And now in his special message called What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy? Here is pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
From Genesis to Revelation, you could read Genesis to Malachi if you're Jewish. Skip all the New Testament and read Revelation. It'll make sense to you. Because the menorah that's in the Old Testament, you find the menorah again in the New Testament, book of Revelation. You find the tree of life in the beginning, you find the tree of life at the end. Over and over, it's corroborating evidence given by God. 66 books by 40 authors by one origin, God Himself. And over that course of time, some of these guys living on separate continents and other realms under other kingdoms, nearly a 2,000-year period, and they all agree. Evidence, overwhelming, corroborating evidence. The Bible says in Isaiah says 46, verse 9 and 10, "For I am God, there is no other God. I am God, there is none like me." Say amen. That's your God. Verse 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done." Number three, under this point, the Bible is prophetic because it's the first to promise. The Bible is the first to promise. Bible prophecy ought to lead every person who studies it to a closer relationship to Jesus Christ, because the Bible, from cover to cover, promises you a head-on collision regarding one individual. The psalmist, it's echoed again in the book of Hebrews, "For behold, in the volume of the book, the Bible says, it is written of me." And that's about the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 45, verse 21 says, "Declare what is to be, present it, and let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God, and what? Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Isaiah 45 says that. I love that. That sounds like a New Testament verse, doesn't it? Isn't Jesus the Savior? I thought God just said here, He's the Savior. Didn't Jesus say to the Pharisees, before Abraham was, listen, before Abraham was, He said to them, "Ego emi, I am. I am the self-contained, eternal, existing one." That's why they picked up stones to kill him. Well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Who told you that? Isaiah 42, verse 9. "Behold, the former things," that's the things written down in ancient times, "have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Does that sound awesome? Would you not agree with me today that God is the one who makes the promises? He's the one that is the one who speaks this into us. And God says, I know before I speak them to you, so I'm telling you in advance. Are you sitting down? Mark this verse. John 14:29. And now I have told you before it comes to pass that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Do you hear that language, friend? Do you hear that? The remarkable promise that God gives, that his word is prophetic. Point two in our study today. There's only three, but this is point two. Regarding what's the big idea about Bible prophecy is that the Bible, in its prophetic nature, requires the believer to be watching. You need to write that down. You are required, I am required to keep myself maintained in a state of readiness. I would submit to you today, and I do not take one thing away from those who are being martyred for our Jesus today and have of recent times been beheaded, burned at the stake, or skinned alive. I take nothing from them. I would like to submit to you that one of the most difficult things, if not more difficult than dying, what God's saying to you, I need you to be faithful to my name and to my word and walk with me for the next 48 years, every day, day in and day out, come and follow me. I would submit to you today that without the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I cannot maintain the state of readiness. We're living in an awesome time. We heard it from Jan and Barry. All of these things are designed under the watchful eye of God, no doubt. But Satan, the Bible says, in the last days, these perilous times would come. For those of you who are craftsmen, the word is to plane, where the wood is being shaved ever so thinly off of the log. The days are wearing us down. And the Bible says that you're to maintain your light. You're to maintain the oil, your relationship with the Lord. I know you love Jesus, or else you wouldn't be here. But isn't it getting it harder to continue that love relationship with Jesus? Be honest. You've got to work harder to have your devotional time now. Let's be honest. You've got to work harder to pray. It's different than it was 40 years ago when I became a Christian. Many distractions. Many hardships. Listen, I want to encourage you. This is exactly what God knew in advance before he called you into his family. You're going to make it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You're going to make it, so keep your oil lamp full. But Pastor, I feel like I'm failing. We all feel like we're failing. But you're ready. Oh, I didn't witness to enough people. I didn't pray long enough. I didn't give enough. None of us have. But are you looking for him? Do you get up every day? Thank God there's new mercies every morning, right? Woo! Get up and go again. If some of you, you've been defeated and you're wallowing in your defeat and you hurt Jesus and there's no way back, I want you to know that's the voice of the enemy. I want you to know that's the voice of condemnation. I want you to know that only the God of the Bible says, get up. Get up, Joshua, and stand to your feet. He's saying that to you today. Mary, get up, stand to your feet. Whatever your name is, fill in the blank. Get up, stand to your feet. I got things to do with you, and I'm not done with you. If God was done with you, you'd be dropping dead today. When he's done with you, you're done. Look, you can retire, but spiritually you can never retire. Okay? We're to be watching. Luke chapter 21. Okay, I'm going to get excited about this. Up until now, I've been sick and haven't been feeling well. Luke 21, I'm going to get excited. This pumps me up. You ready? Luke 21:34. About watching. Jesus said, be careful because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of this life. Gosh, I'm glad we don't have to deal with that. And that the day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Be careful how you answer. Christian, do you live on the face of the earth? The Bible says you do not live on the face of the earth. Listen, exactly, brother. Get up here and preach this message. Come on. He's right. We are citizens of heaven. This is not our home. We don't dwell here. The book of Ephesians says we dwell in the heavenlies. That's where your address is. Think about that. I just saw the other day. In fact, Jan pointed out today that now, you know, Google and YouTube and all these people know, they not only know where you're at, but they know more than you probably know about you. And I mean it. I'm not joking. They now know all about your exact spending habits. They know your conversations. They know. Listen, here's a little test. Here's a little test. If you set your phone down, you can turn it off. You set your phone down, carry on a conversation this evening. And then in the morning, when you go on Google, look on the sidebar and see what's being offered on the sidebar thumbnail clips. And it's regarding the conversation you were having with friends the night before. Dead serious. Check it out. It's listening. It shops. And then it puts up, you know, they say it's trying to help you. I don't need that kind of help. You don't dwell on this earth. Here's the punchline. Verse 36, Luke 21. Be always on the watch. By the way, the word in Greek means scanning. I love it. Be looking. Be looking. Be always on the watch and pray. Pray what? That you may, what's the word? Oh, say it again. What? Escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Did you hear that? Did you hear it? The Bible says, pray, watch, be ready, so that you can escape the things that are about to happen. You know what that escape is called? Rapture. Harpazo in Greek. Rapture in Latin. Caught up in English. It's in the Bible. There's been raptures in the Old Testament, if you think about it, in miniature. And there's a big one coming. I hope it happens today. Okay, under this watch, we're to be urgent. So number one, we're to be urgent. There should be a sense of urgency about the Spirit-filled Christian. If you're not urgent today, you're a lover of Jesus, but you're not urgent. You need to ask God to forgive you, to remove the clutter from your life, and to get you in hot love with Jesus about his return. Think about it. When you're in love, you're nuts. I love doing weddings. I love tormenting the bridegroom just before the service. We always pray. Well, I always get the guys together, and I always say the same thing. This is between us, so don't let anybody know this. But I get the guys together, and I say, okay, first things first. Make sure your zippers are up. It happens every time. Secondly, we're going to pray right now for this wedding, but we're going to pray that the Lord comes back even now. Let's pray. And the groom will always go, Pastor, just one night. Jesus can come back tomorrow. Why? Because he loves her. Do you love him? Do you long to see him? Enough to be watching? Enough to be pushing stuff off to the side? Listen, the world is sending out to us allurements. Push it off to the side. Distractions, flirtation, temptation. The world gives us opportunities. Watch out. Don't say yes to everything. God may not be in it. Satan's very good about bringing to you and I the opportunity to fulfill that desire that's hidden or secret. Watch out. Be on the guard. Be urgent. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which, notice the location. Is this awesome? Can you guys see this on the screens? Okay, look at this. Look at this verse. Catch this. Circle it in your Bibles. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which, what does that mean? Perspective, our perspective, look, is from up there, looking down here. That's how we look. That's how we're supposed to look. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Notice where you live. You're not an earth dweller. But the Bible says that you are to be praying and watching and getting ready and be urgent, because he's going to catch us up to where we belong. Could happen at any time. We'll talk more of this in the closing. But that word eagerly wait means to expect with great expectation. It means to be waiting with anticipation. Wow. I love it. Here's my favorite verse. If you get an email from me, it's going to have this verse on it. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's pretty crystal clear. Jesus is God according to that verse. Jesus is my Savior according to that verse. I should be excited and hopeful. I should be watching because I'm to be looking, and it's my blessed hope, and it's going to be his great glorious appearing. What a great thing. Number two, imminent. Imminent. Boy, I tell you, I'm grateful for this conference. Thank you, Barry. Thank you for doing this. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you guys right now. You go across America, Jan knows, you go mostly around the world, and it's unheard of. You can go to Christian universities and ask them, does the Bible give you a doctrine of imminency? They won't even know what you're talking about. But Dr. H.A. Ironside knew what you'd be talking about. Dr. John Wolvery would have known what you're talking about. Listen, for that matter, Paul the Apostle would have known what you were talking about, for crying out loud. It means that Christ could come back at any moment for the church. Hey, listen, if you're not a Christian, oh, what are you going to tell me, the world's coming to an end? No, it's not coming to an end. You know, every time there's a war in the Middle East, it's going to happen again soon. CNN's going to call. You have a comment? You have a comment about, is this Armageddon? Pastor, what do you think? You know, you notice CNN could care less until there's a war, and then they want to know what we think, and then they always think wrong. Is this the end of the world? No, calm your jets. Calm down. It's not the end of the world. They always get shocked. It's not the end of the world. No, you know what? The rapture could happen at any moment. There's at least 7 years ahead of us. And then, listen, there's 1,000 years after that. But dude, don't sit back and rest, because the rapture could happen today. There's no precursors to the rapture. Not a one. Don't think, oh, I'm waiting for this to happen, that to happen, this other thing to happen. Don't do that. I like what Dr. Heinzen says. He says that he's not waiting for the Antichrist. He's waiting for Jesus Christ. He's not waiting for the Undertaker. He's waiting for the Upper Taker. Isn't that great? That's a good word. Imminent. The Bible says and teaches imminency, that you're to be always watching. You may not like what I'm saying, but just the parable says to watch and be ready. You don't know when. No warning. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. It's going to happen in a moment. Hey, listen, write this down. The rapture is our blessed hope. Awesome, beautiful, no warning. Global, listen, global, not localized. It's a global event. Watch. It's predominantly Gentile. Some Jew in it. Amir Jew. Marty Goetz Jew. Anybody else Jew in here that's saved? Jew born anew? Anybody? See, that's awesome. One of the ways that we know we're at the end is that the early church was predominantly Jewish and a little bit Gentile. Now the church is predominantly Gentile, a little bit Jewish. But now you're starting to see Jews wake up to the reality of Jesus being the Messiah. What does that mean? Out of all the stuff we heard today, when you start hearing that Jews are waking up to Jesus, they're going to be members of the church. They're going to go up in the rapture. But it's also an indicator that once the rapture takes place, God's going to go to work. And listen, it's localized on Israel, okay? And the second coming, every eye shall see him. It's the great and terrible day of the Lord. The Bible says that those who dwell on the earth will mourn and try to hide themselves from him in his return. Listen, and the Bible says in the second coming, we will be with him, Revelation 19, coming out of heaven to come back to the earth. Question, how did we ever get up there? Answer, the rapture. But listen, Jesus is going to come back the second time like he came the first time. The first time he came to the nation of Israel and he came to Jerusalem. The second time he's going to come to the nation of Israel, which has to be in existence, and he has to come to Jerusalem, which has to be in existence. Think of it. One is a blessed, beautiful thing. The other one is he coming in fiery judgment. Read Isaiah 61 in the following verses. It's tremendous. And then also, we're to be prepared. The Bible wants us to be watching, so it's the imminency of Christ's return, and then we need to be prepared, and I love this, prepared. 1 John 3, verse 2, You guys all know this verse. It's so encouraging. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that he rose again from the dead? Listen to me. I am not saying that you're supposed to do some sort of penance so that you help him out on the cross. I'm not saying that you somehow be good enough to get yourself resurrected from the dead. I'm asking you today, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead for your justification? If you believe that he did it all, then all to him you owe. And let me tell you something. That is a wonderful truth, because God says, by putting his Holy Spirit in your life, you're now my child. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are you prepared to meet him like that? And then finally, we'll end with this. The third and final argument is, what's the big idea about Bible prophecy is this. Why there is in the Bible a warning of what we heard so much today about deception. Some of the things you heard today were shocking to some of you. And yet, I think if you were to take a microphone, someday we've got to be bold enough to do this. Everyone who's ever been involved in a conference, you can ask these guys and ask Jan later. The best Bible conferences ever don't happen here on the platform. You know where they happen? Back there behind that wall. When we sit down and we talk about, did you see, and then regarding Syria, and did you see this thing coming, and did you, what about that? And then, what about that verse? Oh my goodness, I wish all of you could pull up a table. I mean, we need to do that someday. It's just awesome, because it's just awesome. Final thing about deception. The Bible gives us warnings. And a unique description, by the way, that the last days are going to be days of likened unto the days of Noah. We don't even begin to embrace that. When's the last time you read about the days of Noah? My dear friend, it's pretty freaky, you know. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm going to come back like it was in the days of Noah. You think it's bad right now? The stuff that Jan showed us, those pictures that keep you up at night, that's nothing compared to what's coming. Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 41 into 42, tells us that in the last days, it's going to happen again. It says, they, whoever they are, will mingle with the seed of men. There's things coming, ladies and gentlemen, that maybe it's going to be spun off as Microsoft. Maybe it's going to be spun off as Google. Maybe it's going to be spun off as something, some high-tech creation invention. I don't know. But I know this, you know this, Satan's no dummy. And the Bible says in the end times, the enemy's going to use that, days of deception.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in his special message called, What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy? Thanks for listening today. We're so glad that you could join us. And remember, some say the world is falling apart, but the Bible says the world is falling together. What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy? Is a message Pastor Jack gave at Proximity Conference on Bible prophecy and how it relates to today's culture and current events. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we'd like to encourage you to join the thousands who have already subscribed to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's a great way to stay informed, stay in the Word, and stay encouraged in these often turbulent and difficult times, with videos on Bible prophecy and studies, important Christian worldview updates, live events, and so much more. You'll have the satisfaction in knowing what's happening around you while learning more about God and His Word. In a world that fills you with lies, slanders our belief system, and attacks us on every side, it's comforting to know we can turn to the strength and support that Pastor Jack's videos provide. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs from the YouTube app or through our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.